Praise to Sri Guru. In this chapter, the Brahmana Jatabharata instructs Maharaj Ruhugana in detail. He tells the king, "You are not very experienced, yet you pose yourself as a learned person because you are very proud of your knowledge. Actually, a person who is on the transcendental platform does not care for social behavior that sacrifices spiritual advancement." Social behavior comes within the jurisdiction of karma, kanda, material benefit. No one can spiritually advance by such activities. The conditioned soul is always overpowered by the modes of material nature, and consequently he is simply concerned with material thoughts, with material benefits and auspicious and inauspicious material things. In other words, the mind, which is the leader of the senses, is absorbed in material activities life after life. Thus he continuously gets different types of bodies and suffers miserable material conditions. On the basis of mental concoction, social behavior has been formulated. If one's mind is absorbed in these activities, he certainly remains conditioned within the material world. According to different opinions, there are 11 or 12 mental activities which can be transformed into hundreds or thousands and thousands. A person who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to all these mental concoctions and is thus governed by the material energy. The living entity who is free from mental concoctions attains the platform of pure spirit soul devoid of material contamination. There are two types of living entities, Jivatma and Paramatma. The individual soul and the supreme soul. That supreme soul in his ultimate realization is Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. He enters into everyone's heart and controls the living entity in his different activities. He is therefore the supreme shelter of all living entities. One can understand the supreme soul and one's position and relationship with him when one is completely freed from unwanted association of ordinary men. In this way, one can become fit to cross the ocean of nescience. The cause of conditional life is attachment to the external energy. One has to conquer these mental concoctions. Unless one does so, he will never be freed from material anxieties. Although mental concoctions have no value, their influence is still very formidable. No one should neglect to control the mind. If one does, the mind becomes so powerful that one immediately forgets his real position. Forgetting that he is an eternal servant of Krishna and that service to Krishna is his only business, one is doomed by material nature to serve the objects of the senses. One should kill mental concoctions by the sword of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, Guru Krishna Prasade Poi. Bhakti Lata Bija. So we'll go on to the first text. So you can repeat. Brahmana Uvacha Akovidaha. Akovidaha. Without having experience. Akovidavadavadan. Words used by experienced persons. Let us see. You are speaking. Ato. Therefore. Na. Not. Ati vidam. Of those who are very experienced. Vrishtaha. The most important. Na. Not. Surayaha, such intelligent persons. He indeed. Vyavaharam, mundane and social behavior. Enam, this. Tatva, of the truth. Avamarshena, fine judgment by intelligence. Saha, with. Amadanti. Discuss. Translation, the Brahmana Jatabharata said, my dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man considering the absolute truth does not talk in this way. You want to repeat? The Brahmana Jatabharata said, my dear king,
although you are not at all
experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person.
An experienced person
does not speak the way you are speaking
about the relationship
between a master and a servant, or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities.
Any advanced, experienced man
considering the absolute truth
does not talk in this way.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Krishna similarly chastised Arjuna. Asochan, anvasochas tvam, tvagyavaram cha vāśaśe.
While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief.
Śrīmad Gītā, 2nd chapter, text 11. Similarly, among people in general, 99.9% try to talk like experienced advisors, but they are actually devoid of spiritual knowledge and are therefore like inexperienced children speaking nonsensically. Consequently, their words cannot be given any importance. One has to learn from Krishna or his devotee. If one speaks on the basis of this experience, that is, on the basis of spiritual knowledge, one's words are valuable. At the present moment, the entire world is full of foolish people. Bhagavad Gita describes these people as buddhas. They are trying to rule human society, but because they are devoid of spiritual knowledge, the entire world is in a chaotic condition. To be released from these miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jatabharata, Lord Krishna, and Kapila Deva. That is the only way to solve the problems of material life.
The Brahmana Vacha, Akobada Kobada Vada Vadam Vadasyata Nati Vidam Varishtaha Nasuryohi Vyavahara Menam Tatvava Marshena Saha Vananti Omagana Timurandasha Garanjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigaraveda Maha.
So, it's interesting here in the verse, the word is translated as experienced person, which is very interesting. Let's try to unpack what the word means in this particular context. Experience does not mean that one experiences a lot of things in this world and comes to a conclusion. That's called the inductive process. That induction means that one experiences different things and comes to a general conclusion. For example, let's give an example of induction. You might have the experience that everybody you see dies after some time. Therefore, you come to the conclusion that all men are mortal. And that's actually true. I mean, everybody does die. However, your method of arriving at that particular conclusion is faulty. Because maybe there's someone who doesn't die. And, of course, as far as we're concerned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't die. You know, you make some conclusion all entities die, and that's the wrong conclusion. Of course, all entities with a material body die. So, in other words, it's a faulty process simply to have experience in this world. So what does it mean here by experience, or when Jatabharata is chastising Maharaj Rahugana not being experienced, it means that after you experience things in this material world, you should come to the conclusion that you really don't know anything. That's the first point. Like Prabhupada said, that we can't really preach to someone until they come to the point of knowing that they don't know. Like that thing about Socrates. Socrates was considered the most wise man in Athens. There was this, I guess it's metaphysical thing, construct called the oracle. You know, people would go to the oracle. Oracle means like the soothsayer. I don't know if you know what that means. That means fortune teller, gypsy, or someone who would read the future, you know, crystal ball reader, something like that. So in Athens, when people wanted advice, they didn't go to the psychiatrist. And they went to the oracle. And so they went to the oracle. Some people went to the oracle and said, who's the most intelligent person in Athens? And the oracle said, Socrates is the most intelligent person in Athens. And the reason for that was not that he knew everything. Of course, he was Brahman realized, according to Srila Prabhupada. Because at the time of taking the poison, leaving his body, he said to those who were condemning him, he said, you will never be able to capture me because I'm the soul. So he did have some realization. But he was actually the most intelligent person in Athens because at least he knew that he didn't know. You understand? That's a sign of experience in this world. And even Lord Brahma, after he attempted to steal all the coward boys and the calves and everything like that, he said, others may say they know Krishna, but I don't know. In other words, he came to the point of humility. And Lord Brahma, of course, is the original preceptor in our disciplic succession, and the original person in the whole material world, Adikavaye. I mean, he's the original intelligent person in this world. He's a direct disciple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he says, but I don't know. That's humility. But we're saying, we do know. And therefore, as mentioned in the introduction to this particular chapter, we're coming up with so many cultural and sociological things, truth, that we consider to be truth. Like, I don't know if I should get into things that are politically incorrect in class. But anyway, so certain types of marriage, which will remain nameless, that there's a great pressure in society now to have different types of marriages that are not traditional marriages. Traditional marriages, in case you haven't figured that out, means between a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, or between two different genders. That's a traditional marriage. And now, there's so much pressure. And eventually, it'll be illegal for religions to discriminate on that basis. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, of course, there's a lot of good things in the law, too. I mean, for example, we were just discussing in India that the GVC is discussing whether women can become gurus or not in the movement. And it turns out that there's some laws in India, because the laws in India are generally not enforced, that say you can't discriminate as far as jobs in terms of men and women. So we're wondering whether they're going to get taken to court. And America eventually would get taken to court in that. You know, because there is gender discrimination. Actually, you know, eventually the churches, the churches will get taken to court. The churches don't even allow women to be priests, at least the Catholic Church. And there have been some priests who have ordained women as priests, and these priests get excommunicated from the church. So, I mean, sometimes the law is good, sometimes the law is bad, but it's all based on mental concoction. You know, what people feel is right. You know, or the general populace feels is right. And therefore, it's like the general populace is basically all Shudras. in Kali Yuga. Akshay Shudra would be a term of praise in Kali Yuga. They're actually malechas or even less than malechas because they eat any damn thing. I mean, I was just talking to someone that was explaining what the people eat in their office, you know, pigs, dogs, not dogs, but certain places they do eat dogs. Pigs and all. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I've been a member of ISKCON. I didn't say I'm a devotee, but I'm not. But I've been a member of ISKCON for so many years. And just for me to imagine someone picking up something. And, oh, yeah, for example, I was with someone, big businessman the other day, and he was telling me how he made so much money by selling chicken legs. He said, you know, I actually said, you know, he's actually a billionaire. He said, I made so much money by coming up with a system to freeze chicken legs and selling. So I was able to sell like 10 million chicken legs or something like that. And so I really had to control myself. Because if you say, ew, then, you know, people will think, you know, where's this guy coming from? So basically people's morality, people's culture, everything is based on mental concoction. You know, what is the politically correct, you know, PC language, what is politically correct right now? And if you deviate from that, wow, people think you're just like weird. Really weird. So, anyway, that's the point that was made. So if one is actually experienced, one will come to the conclusion, I don't know what's right for me or what's wrong for me or what everything is all about. And Krishna brought Arjuna to that conclusion, and the same way Jatabharata is trying to bring King Rahugana to that conclusion. And we see in the example of great personalities who already know everything that they show the example of accepting a spiritual master or a spiritual guide before they start preaching so many things. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance date is tomorrow, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really didn't preach Krishna consciousness until he accepted a spiritual master. In fact, he was just acting as someone who didn't know what life was all about, setting an example. He was engaged in simply logic and argumentation and attacking the Vaishnavas in so many ways. And eventually, when he took initiation from the Swarupuri, then he began to preach Krishna consciousness. So he actually showed the necessity, as Krishna says in the Gita, of course, famous verse, Tadvini, Pranipatena, Paripashnana, Sevya. If one wants to learn the truth, Tadvini, then one has to approach Tadvini, Pranipatena, Pariprashnena Sevya. Tatvadarshi. Actually, in Sanskrit, it doesn't say guru. It says Tatvadarshi. You understand? Tatvadarshi means one who sees the truth. It doesn't mean only one who knows the truth, you know, jnana, but one who actually has a direct perception by realization, as described in the ninth chapter of the Gita. Pratyaksha bhagadmam dharmyam shushukam kartamagyam. Who has pratyaksha, who has direct perception by realization. That's a tatvadarshi. Someone can say, I'm a tatvadarshi, but you haven't seen Krishna. You haven't seen or realized the absolute truth. So one has to approach someone who knows. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And there's so many other examples of that in Vaishnava history, of people who are actually self-realized just by their nature, they're Nitya-siddha devotees. Like Prabhupada, for example. Prabhupada's a Nitya-siddha devotee. Nitya-siddha means always perfect, siddha. Always realized. Like Prabhupada said to his disciples at one point, there was never a time when I forgot Krishna. I could say something similar. There was never a time when I remembered Krishna. Or once in a while I remembered Krishna. when I wake up and I look at the deities for a few seconds before my mind wanders off, I remember Krishna. The Prabhupada said there was never a time when I forgot Krishna. Yet Prabhupada, he acted as a member of Gandhi's movement, which is simply a mental speculation thing. Not that he was engaged in mental speculation. But, you know, the Swaraj, that means like independence for our country. He was a Deshbhakta. Not Prabhupada, but Gandhi. It's like, it's funny, last night I was giving the name Mahatma to a devotee. And I said, you can't rubber stamp a Mahatma. And Prabhupada said that in relationship to Mahatma Gandhi. You know, you just rubber stamp someone. Mahatma. It's like the Wizard of Oz again. That you, you know, that wizard, he just rubber stamped the Scarecrow or the Tin Man. The Tin Man needed a heart. Okay, you got a heart certificate. And the Scarecrow, he needed a brain. Okay, you got a PhD. So that's rubber stamping. So this Mahatma. Mahatma means actually one who is a great soul, one who knows Krishna. So anyway, Prabhupada, going back to the story, so Prabhupada acted like one of Mahatma Gandhi's, or let's say Gandhi's, followers. And out of protest, he didn't even accept his university degree. He graduated, but he didn't show up for the graduation ceremony to get his certificate. He rejected it, you know, because of this external attachment to Mahatma Gandhi and Mahatma Gandhi's movement. And then when Prabhupada went to see a spiritual master in Calcutta on the rooftop, and then he said, he even argued with the spiritual master first, and he said, you know, who's going to hear your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message while India is still a captive nation? And then he was defeated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established his superiority because of his knowledge and realization. And then Prabhupada, at that point, accepted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his spiritual master, because it took 11 years before he took initiation. People don't work that long nowadays. You know, 6 months, a year, is about all they can handle. And then, in many cases, even after 2 or 3 years after initiation, you know, they fall in love and that's it, you know. This love business, it's just amazing. Sometimes they please their wife or husband and they give up their family. That's happened to someone. Some devotees, I've seen. He wanted to keep the family. Prahlad Maharaj didn't want to keep the family. He said, you know, just have a nice relationship with my father. I should stop this Narayan stuff, you know. Stop it, you know, just my, it's more important to have a loving relationship with daddy. You know, so that's a real devotee. Someone who's so determined, even if daddy is ready to kill us, he has a throat, and he just continues chanting, no matter what. So Prabhupada, he was chastised by his spiritual master, and then, at that point, he, you know, this is all passed on, of course, then he understood what his mission in life was. So, you know, Prabhupada, this pure devotee, Nityasiddha devotee, accepting the spiritual master and guidance, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, before he took initiation, maybe even went next to Deepak. You know. And so, of course, he had read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he took a very humble position, showing the necessity. And then, as far as our friend Hanuman, I mean, he's a direct expansion of Lord Shiva. Can you imagine that? And then, he has to take instruction. He has to go all the way to the sun god, who he tried to eat for prasadam previously. He has to go to the sun god and take instruction from the sun god in Krishna consciousness. And that's pretty hard because you have to fly around with him. He has to fly backwards as the sun god went forward to get instruction in Krishna consciousness. So Hanuman always respected his guru. So you have this whole culture of what's called, instead of induction, which we started this discussion off with, of trying to understand things by your own experience in this world, then you have the descending process. That is the process of understanding things by sabda pramana, hearing from a higher, the pramana, the evidence, hearing from those who are realized. So that is our methodology. And Prabhupada also said when we speak, at least when we speak about spiritual matters, we should not say, I think. You know, you could say about ordinary matters, you could use the word, I think, you know. What color would you like to paint the temple room? Well, I think it should be white. Yellow, sort of, I think. I think we should use paint that doesn't give off fumes. You know, anyway. That happens sometimes. But it's all right. So it teaches us the material world, can't be good. So anyway, there's certain things, and material things, you can actually have different opinions. That's all right. You know, you think we should go there to preach, you think we should open up the temples, you think we should install deities there, all these things, there can be some discussion with. But when you're speaking about Krishna, then things should be spoken from the absolute platform, which is not, I think, but you're able to quote Shastra or quote the great pure devotees. In other words, you're able to back up, as Prabhupada said, we should be like lawyers, not liars. The lawyers, Prabhupada said, the lawyers, they're able to read the law to judges. We spoke about this the other day in class, that judges, they don't generally know the law that well, because they're usually political appointees. And sometimes they're not even lawyers. So the lawyer's business is to get the law, the citations together to present to the judges. Instead of, you know, I think this guy is innocent. You know, he didn't really mean it when he killed this woman. You know, maybe he was in love with her and he just like thought it went a little too far. So you gotta have some standard, objective standards, rules and regulations, objective standards. And especially when dealing with the absolute truth, there is an objective truth. It's not something subjective. And when I was young, before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I thought the truth was just subjective. Everybody has their own truth, I was thinking. And then you can take up the path called eclecticism. Eclecticism means you take a little bit from here, a little bit from there. And that's what I was doing before I joined the movement. One time I went to Mayor Baba, who said, you know, I'm not going to speak, and when I start speaking again, I'll change the whole world, because he died before he began to speak, which is a pretty good idea. He saved the world by not speaking. So, we went there, and then, you know, all these yogis and bogies and bitches and voodoo and all that. And I came up with my own philosophy, which, and some people even thought I was spiritually advanced. It's actually interesting. I was at the university and some people say, you're just like my guru. You know so much about spiritual things. I said, yes, I know so much about spiritual things. But then, you know, when I came in touch with Prabhupada, then I found out I knew nothing. So we should really help people understand this epistemological point. That really, unless you're accepting things from the perfect authority, you know nothing. You may know some temporary truths, you know, like Hillsborough is within North Carolina. But that's not really that important. You know, but you won't know what happens at the time of death, who you are, you know, who God is, what happens in the spiritual world, or anything like that, unless you accept this. And then sometimes the things that we accept in Krishna consciousness from the descending process, then they don't make sense to us in the material world. I mean, how could that be? How can the monkey fly through the air? I've never seen a monkey fly through the air. Have you? No, not even. I've seen so many monkeys in Vrindavan. And none of them ever fly through the air. Sometimes, you know, somebody's walking on near the tree and they pass urine on them, but that's about it. I've never seen them fly through the air. I've never seen a monkey with a club before. Have you? You know, I'm the one who walks around with a club so the monkeys don't attack me. Not the monkeys. So how does this do, you know? You know, so there's this faith, you know, this problem with faith sometimes, because we haven't experienced something. So how can it be that flying monkeys and monkeys that can make themselves bigger and jump over the ocean, and monkeys that can make themselves tiny like this, you know, just like, oh, what do you guys believe in? So it actually takes some faith to progress into some kind of good shredding my ass, good shredding my ass, good shredding my ass, good shredding my ass, good shredding my ass. If one doesn't have faith, then one doesn't go back. So how can we have faith in something that's so incredulous, you know, something that's so unbelievable? We get that by chanting, and the realization is there. How we can actually, these things can be real. I mean, what we're believing in Krishna consciousness for the common people is just so amazing, fantastic. It's more than Gopal Spider-Man or Superman or whatever man or Spider-Woman or whatever. Black Widow. So it comes from chanting. Therefore, we have to get people chanting first before they can actually understand Krishna consciousness. It's also Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. It's the most secret of all secrets. So Krishna keeps it hidden by his Yogamaya. Yogamaya Samadhika. Enough of that. And now we'll see Radha Gulokananda.